This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, educated educators talking education.
Yes, it's Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education, Thursday night. Johnny Lupinacci, how are you, my friend?
Oh, man, I'm doing well. You know, it's been getting close to back to school here for me. So I've been, you know, really organizing and planning and preparing to shift from summer schedule to fall full swing next week. So, you know, it's Thursday. Excited. This will be probably one of the, if not the last Thursday, I'll do the show from my home studio. I'll be in my classroom. We're going to have classroom studio maybe next week, for sure the week after, but we'll
I was getting concerned there when you said last. I'm like, wait, hold on. Last nothing.
No, I was going to announce my retirement.
I'm like, whoa.
Yeah, no, none such thing. None such thing. Just a little shift in venues coming up because I will be back in the classroom this fall and in full swing in 2 weeks and, you know, setting things up next week.
Yeah.
And then with students.
Getting ready. Yep. Hey, the number is 855-752-4842. Call us right away. If you're watching us on the YouTube, if you're watching us on Facebook, if you're watching us on the Twitter X, you can also text in at any time. Did you like that, Jess?
I like that X? You use the Twitter, the YouTube, the Facebook.
You know, hey, got to make it, you know, a little friendly. Johnny, though, tomorrow, Friday, August 9th at 5 p.m. Central is the deadline to register to vote in person before Election Day at your municipal clerk's office. If you are unable to register to vote by tomorrow, Wisconsin is a same-day register and vote state, so please register at your polling location on August 13th. Wisconsin's fall primary election is August 13th. Make a plan and vote in this and every election. Do your civic duty to find out what's on your ballot and where to cast it. Go to myvote.wi.gov. And if you're thinking about where should I get some great advice on, or just counseling, or just camaraderie around voting, I know a great place in Madison where they have some of the greatest beverages, Johnny Lupinacci, that if you wanted to sit down and say, you know what, before we go vote, let's hoist one up and talk about to the future of this democracy. Where would that be, Johnny Lupinacci?
I mean, I know where I'd go. I don't necessarily know that I'd go there for my counseling. I go to a therapist and a counselor for that, but or to make the decisions about my vote. And if I knew where I was going, I'd go there after.
Okay.
Celebrate with my friends. Or if I had, like you said, good questions and maybe seek advice or voting counsel. Get brought up to speed on the issues. I'm sure there are like-minded political folks hanging out at the Minocqua Brewing Company. Busted Pencils is sponsored by the Minocqua Brewing Company. You know, beyond being political, you know what's special about those guys, Tim?
What's that,
they're
Johnny?
Big-time supporters of public education. I mean, Kirk there even went as far as to sue the state of Wisconsin to end voucher systems. Those are defenders of public education over there. Minocqua Brewing Company is making Wisconsin great again, one beer at a time. Check out MinoccaBrewingCompany.com to see where you can buy their progressive beer. And you can, like Tim said, you can hoist one up with good fellows, good friends, good folk, and enjoy the rest of your summer as it's waning away to fall. But don't worry, because there's plenty of good folks around in fall, and the beer never stops getting poured there. You know, so speaking of that, listener, Tim and I, we have been going back and forth, and really excited, jubilant yesterday with Educators Amplified. And we've been talking about the excitement of the Harris-Walz ticket. It doesn't seem to get any less exciting. So we're going to talk a little bit more about that tonight. And we're going to talk about that on two fronts. One, we've mentioned in the last few shows, and L.A. Tom, one of our regular callers, listeners out there, you know, you've heard L.A. Tom calling, has brought up FDR's, agenda and his commitment to, you know, reviving an economy. and he's brought up FDR like vibes, says there's a lot of resonance to an FDR era. And so we're going to talk a little bit about that tonight. We'll do a little social studies lesson tonight on the Economic Bill of Rights, is its nerdy official name. and I like the more colloquial modern version, Second Bill of Rights. Let's go round two, 2.0, baby.
Nice.
Second Bill of Rights. We'll get into that tonight. Tim and I, a couple of social studies teachers ourselves,
hey, you know,
pretty pumped. So we'll carry that out. But Tim, I got a question for you, man.
All right.
You know what we haven't talked about, and probably you and I and Jess, we've talked off the air about it. And
yeah,
and small talk is an important thing in community. And this isn't exactly small talk. I mean, this is social studies talk. This is geography talk. This is sports talk. When you talk Olympics, man, we haven't chopped it up about the Olympics at all on Busted Pencils. And we know, Tim, we've said, both of us big sports fans, both coaches, both interested in, you know, youth programming in this country and really around the world. So, man, I got to ask you and Jess, like, are you watching the Olympics? How's it going? What's your favorite moment or event been?
So I got to put it to you this way. This is the first year that I haven't been able to officially watch because my streaming service, you know, I don't pay for the Peacock, you know, I just do not pay for the Peacock. So I get my Olympics in news in spurts. And I got to tell you, I mean, everything Simone Biles, you know, watching the field hockey players today again, going like, how the heck did they even hit that thing with that tiny little type of, you know, stick? It doesn't look like the hockey stick I use, Johnny. But man, I got to tell you, you know, as much as I love all the excitement, all the gold medals, all of this, I love the little short stories. And I was able to catch one of those. And my favorite one, though, I'm telling you, is watching Snoop Dogg and Martha Stewart watching horse dancing.
Yeah, I don't, you know, that's been amazing. That
sounds
really cool.
So joyful.
I know, it's just so joyful because you just watch this and genuinely watching Snoop Dogg looking at these dancing horses, which if you watch this, there's an absolute amazement that a rider with the inner thigh pressures that they put on this to get a horse to do those different things with their legs, the trotting and stuff like that. And then him and Martha, it's a wonderful programming bit to just look at, you know, first of all, two people who you go, Martha Stewart, Snoop Dogg. Yeah. Awesome. Awesome duo. But then truly, genuinely appreciating the artistry of horse dancing. I just feel like that's a moment where I went, yeah, just joyful again.
There you go, Tim. Little known fact, little trivia that I'll just throw out there. I'm terrified of horses. I don't really like, I mean,
that's
I'm
what, okay. That's what Snoop said. Snoop I said am, the same I, thing. He's like, he's terrified.
I mean, I can watch
every time fast. I see a horse, how big they are.
Yeah. And so that's been fun. And this is reminding me, my kids always give me a hard time about being, you know, less invested in streaming and services and being a regular TV guy. And I haven't figured out how to make like the Hulus and all the things work for my sports obsessions. Oh. I mean, and so I'm slow to the coming around on, you know, different services and streamings. I have like as close to terrestrial TV as exists, you know? So I'm like, wait, you don't have NBC?
Because you got some rabbit ears.
I mean, you just put on NBC any time of day right now. And if it's not, you know, local news or interruption, it's the Olympics and primetime in Paris has been awesome. And seeing, I love, you know, that a whole SNL cast or at least a big group of them have joined the announcing team for NBC. And so they're commentating. They're part of the things. It's been great. I mean, so many moments. I just love sports, you know, and seeing Serbia almost beat the United States in basketball today, to see the USA men's basketball team be pushed to come from behind to make a big victory. I mean, these are huge moments after, you know, decades of dominating in the Olympics, probably even longer than decades, right, since the Dream Team. But so many big moments. Women's water polo today going into a double shootout. Of course, they lost. But I mean, it's just been to see excellence on the stage like that from young people. And I even consider, I mean, I'm not that old, but I even consider the older group of really impressive athletes like Simone Biles, who's, I think, 27 years old. I mean, impressive what all these people are doing as experts. That's like, you know, you see the hard work that they put in and all around the world. So I also get stoked, Tim, because as social studies teachers, during the Olympics is when we get to do so much like real-time world geography.
World geography right there, man.
Cultures. Every sixth grade social studies teacher out there knows, oh, man, that's the curriculum is world cultures, you know, and geography. And so it's exciting to talk about it. My kids are about tired of the embedded social studies lesson. Every single time a new country comes up, I say, well, do you know what kind of government that country has? You happen to know, you know, their history, what their capital is. And they're just like, enough already. But it's
dad, stop.
I say, you'll thank me later. And their eyes go up like, will we actually thank you later? But, you know, I love the Olympics, Tim. That's how much, though, that we haven't been talking about it as much as I love it, as much as I know you and I talk about sports. This energy around our democracy, it's connected to this because forms of government certainly are connected to the Olympics, but it's important to talk about the things we've been hitting on. I mean, we've been excited.
We've just been so excited, you know, and you say just coming off and just put it in there. Yeah. You know, the horse dancing and Snoop and Martha made me joyful, but it's that joyfulness that keeps carrying through the week of realizing, as you said, Johnny, our democracy. And again, just the switch from Biden to Harris and then Harris now and all the anticipation of a vice president and then Waltz making social studies teaching great again, which is why we're here tonight, just celebrating social studies teachers. But then the week, Nancy Carlson Page, Matt Damon's mom, you guys started talking off with weird. And then Tuesday, we actually celebrated Waltz as the pick. And then last night with Educators Amplified to watch Teacher Hallie and Teacher Joanna say, wow, I feel like they can catch what's happening, man. And then you say, Johnny, the Olympics, I got to put in there for the Olympics. I am always amazed when I, quote, see distance runners and I think they're sprinting and they're truly distance running. And I'm like, are you kidding me? They've been running that pace for that long? Oh, busted pencils, man. You see how much longer we can keep running when we come back.
Oh, and we're back. This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk with Civic Media here. Listeners, we love you. If you want to join the conversation, our phone lines are a little bit tied up because we have Dr. Nancy Carlson Page joining us by phone for the first half of the show. But don't worry, we'll get you in on the second half. We'll fold you into the conversation. Nancy, I had to cut you off abruptly right when you were kind of making an important point about, you know, the discourse of things. And so bringing you back in, you can go ahead and pick right up where you left off. Thanks, Nancy.
I mean, as far as I see it, this whole sinking low happened when Donald Trump came on the scene, and he because I have never seen public discourse be of this nature in my lifetime, and I think he's really normalized behaviors that many of us feel are completely unacceptable, like bullying people and name calling and making put downs. And, you know, he makes up names for people, Crooked Hillary and Pocahontas for my wonderful Senator Elizabeth Warren, you know, and Grandpa Joe. These are caricatures of people that are very calculating on his part because they're intended to actually undermine the person's an understanding of who the person is and reduce them down to these stereotypic names. But what I'm really trying to say here is that these behaviors, I co-founded the Center for Peaceable Schools at my university and taught for many, many years teachers on how to work with conflict resolution and mediation skills in classrooms. And one of the things about doing that kind of work is you teach kids even in kindergarten what put downs are and not to make them, what name calling is and not to do it, what it means to bully, and you help kids understand what these things are. And to understand that when you communicate with people, when you use what language you use can either escalate or de-escalate conflict. So if you're looking for understanding and some kind of compromise or meeting of the minds on conflicts or whatever, it's really important to choose a kind of language that helps the other person stay connected to the conversation, not get angry or retaliatory. But and so it's sad to me. I mean, the model of all of this behavior that's been so evident on the national scene has been really harmful for kids. The terrible model, and also adults. I mean, I've had the experience of adults being unbelievably disrespectful and unkind in a way I hadn't noticed earlier in life. I just think there's something about a national mood when people find it okay to treat others with bullying, disrespect, put downs, and so forth. So the comment saying that they're weird does fit that model of kind of disrespectful discourse. Yeah. It does.
Yeah, it slides into it.
And yet it slides into it. It does. And she's right on the edge. She's right on the edge making it, because I think I wouldn't want to see her slip any further, because I don't want to see Kamala Harris play their game on their terms.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. What do you think?
I'm right there with you, Nancy. And I love that you brought up how we work with young people, because that's where we learn to become democratic citizens, like in schools that are committed to that level of, and remember, we themed it last week from our 20 lessons from the 20th century, you know, inspired by Timothy Snyder, to remember professional ethics. And that's not to be like overruling and controlling of language, but remembering that the words we use, the language, that the metaphors of our language bring into reality how we understand and act towards one another. So we as human beings, even as little as young as kindergarten, as preschool, we use intentional language to put our best foot forward, to develop the habits and characteristics of, we could say, a democracy or a healthy community or an inclusive community, one we can belong in, feel safe in, both practice care but receive it, right? And so it's the language is really important. I have to say, I'm right there with you. I would hate to see Kamala Harris slide into it. I don't think she will, because over the course of her career, she's shown us that she can be empathetic and firm. She can respond to a matter. Yeah. She's not dismissive of it. She can be right there fighting the good fight, but elevating it to a level that we ought to have as the professional standard of our politicians. And so I'm really grateful for it. And I'm also grateful, Nancy, for you participating not only in the show, but tonight reminding me, you know, we've been talking about this, and I really think you're right. We are in an era where a level of vitriol language has become acceptable. And I think it's okay for us to say, let's put a pause on this. I don't want to be one to advocate for censorship or to say, oh, you know, you can't use certain words. But the intention and meaning behind it is important for us to understand. And the level of the way that vitriol language and rhetoric of violence really comes to fruition in everyday life. And so I think it has been escalated, and we've almost normalized or built a tolerance to vitriol and violent language. And I'm hoping that it shifts. I really am.
Yeah, no, I agree with you 100%. And it's become normalized. And there's we all have many parts to ourselves, and we have some very base instincts and, tendencies that as we grow and develop, we get them under control. Our the fury we can feel, the anger, the vitriol, revenge, these qualities that are human, but we want to understand them in ourselves and understand when they come up and know how to monitor them and not just explode out without any reflection on what's coming out of our mouth or how it's affecting someone else. You made the point too about feeling safe, and I just wanted to mention, when you have a classroom, if a teacher has a classroom of kids and bullying is allowed, then nobody feels safe in that right. room. And I feel that way on the national scale too. If you have a society where people are treating each other with this much unkindness, lack of compassion, disrespect, and without any sort of interest in listening and compromising or resolving conflicts, I think it has a terrible effect on the population. And I think part of what's happening with the explosion for Kamala is there's a big sigh of relief going on. Like, maybe it doesn't have to be this way. Maybe things are going to actually turn around and become more civil. That there is kindness.
Yep. I love that. There is a radical joy. There is a shift. And Nancy, I want to thank you for joining us tonight. Thanks for hopping on the phone when the internet went down. We appreciate you. Listeners, stay with us. This is Busted Pencils, Fully Leaded Education Talk. More when we come back. It's going to be awesome. We're going to talk about this radical sort of shift in things, this joy and this opportunity to reclaim political discourse and to make bullying and vitriol language just intolerable.
Beautiful, Johnny. Thanks.
Yes. We're all strong enough. Hailstorm there. Love it. Lizzie Hale, Busted Pencils, Fully Leaded Education Talk. Educated educators talking education. The number's 855-752-4842. Lots going on. I know, LA Tom, you're going to call back. Cam just blowing up the texting there. I lived in Apple Valley, Minnesota, when the riots happened, so pretty near where they took place. Waltz handled it and got a grade A class, as far as I'm concerned. Hey, and there's Sherry from Horicon saying a good evening, friends. A little late right there. It's Wednesday. It's Educators Amplified. Teacher Joanna, Teacher Hallie in the house. We're all just kind of sharing a joyful moment. Wanted to point this out, Teacher Hallie and Teacher Joanna. Last night, if you saw the title of the show, just quickly came up with this waltz, Making America Joyful Again.
Kamala Waltz, because we were talking about how, I was saying too, how nice it is to have somebody be direct. And again, remember, like, I'm not anti-Kamala at all. I'm also not her biggest fan, and not because I have any kind of fear of, can we actually have a woman as a leader or any of that deeply entrenched patriarchy stuff that all of us guys need to always be working on. But really, it's just sometimes around my opposition to punishing kids the way that California schools did for so long under her legal thing. But these are all things I do believe she has capacity to grow on. But one thing I did really like, and this was building on that radical joy that Jess brought up, is I was refreshed that someone can be direct, they can be firm, they can be tough, they can be highly qualified, and they can laugh, and they can smile, and they can lead. To me, that's a different kind of energy. That's one I believe can support democracy, can handle conflict that isn't violent. And so that's that joy that I hear from her when she's leading. I like that. And then we got her her and Tim Walz laughing. And I think it was actually to critique them again. The critique, like the memes of them are actually the things that we're like, wait, we kind of need this. And it's not without good, strong leadership. Like, you can have both qualities. You can have a balance in those things. So I'm that's the big thing too. Both of them really smiles, laughing, but a strong record of being firm.
Well, it sounds like, you know, executive function is wired up, right? Which is different. When we're in fear, we lose our ability, you know, we lose our executive functioning. And so it's really smart, and it is really needed, that if you really want folks to connect and understand and be able to do something with information, they have to be in a state where they are feeling safe and, let's say, joyful, since you're using that word. But I hear it as that, like, we're able to be connected. They're in executive function, they themselves, which, you know, helps me to believe that then they'd be capable leaders, because with all, who knows the stress that they have right now with just all that they're doing and all that's required and all the criticism. And so for that not to be an act, and for that to be, you know, true spirited connection, that's what you're doing internally, and then that's what's coming out externally. So we can only do it as a collective if we have individuals who are modeling and practicing.
So constantly being in fear then is not good mental health practicing. But yet, the right now on the right in the Trump and Vance campaign, that seems to be what they were absolutely particularly leaning on to do, which was to drive that fear in a way that got people to the ballot box. Teacher Hallie, maybe you're saying, coming back off of Teacher Joanna, is it then a better, even, and I'd say maybe it's not a strategy as much, but to be genuinely moving in that direction of executive functioning with joy and laughter, is that also what we're starting to feel then, is that it's so much better than feeling fear, that we're feeling like truly our own chemicals in our brains are working better, because I'm not every day hearing about how awful it is.
Yeah. I mean, when I hear you all talking, I just think about, like, you know, the human brain is, you know, we do tend to look more towards the negative. So sure, a motivator could be the fear, but I can see, especially since times of COVID, we've been on like overdrive of fear or overdrive of stress. And so I think that this is a much needed breath of fresh air, of just like this feeling of hope, or this feeling of like something good can happen, because of how long we've had this chronic stress of just like, when will it end? That I tend to think that, right, this is reviving people, and that the fear is then not as like consuming, because there's something positive or hopeful to look towards.
Hey, oh, you know what that bell means every day here on Busted Pencils. Thank you, Allie, because you really teed this one up. Every day here on Busted Pencils, we do democracy in action, aligned to a core democratic value. Just wanted to highlight today that today's democracy in action recognition goes to everybody out there that's making sure they're registered, that's building on this. We're getting daily reports of increased numbers of registered voters, and breaking that demographic down even further of young voters. And this is really important, not in an ageist sense, but this is a sign, this is a message that there is something that young people feel they have a say in, and that's an important, healthy part of democracy. We already know that as we get older, we tend to be more responsible with our civic duty. I actually am learning from these young folks that they weren't shirking their responsibility. They just truly didn't see themselves, the things that they care about, being addressed, and they didn't see an option that they felt matched what they would like to see in this country. And I have to believe that those increased numbers are telling me that they're starting to see that their voice may be and ought to be, in fact, likely will be listened to. So remember, today's Democracy in Action goes to everybody who's getting registered, getting out there to do their civic duty to vote. And it's aligned to patriotism, the core democratic value, reclaiming that term of what it means to be a patriot. In a democracy, all the citizens practice patriotism. This means having a devotion to the strength of our democracy and upholding our core democratic values in what we say and what we do. Remember, listeners, upcoming voting deadlines. This Thursday, August 8th at 5 p.m. Central is the deadline for regular and permanent overseas voters to request an absentee ballot. And this Friday, August 9th at 5 p.m. Central is the deadline to register to vote in person before Election Day at your municipal clerk's office. So make sure to get out there. Last little plug, and we'll get back to the conversation, though. Wisconsin's fall primary election, folks, is August 13th. Make a plan to vote in this and every election. Do your civic duty. In fact, get together with groups of people. There's a joy, while we're talking about joy, in voting. There's a joy in collect, like you get your individual vote, but then collectively celebrate that. And let's usher in a strong democracy. I'm big fan of that, Tim.
I am too.
And Teacher Hallie.
Democracy in Action. Yeah. Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education, educators amplified in the house. Teacher Joanna, hey. Teacher Hallie, 855-752-4842 is the number you can call in. Hey, if you're on the YouTube, if you're on the Twitter or the X, whatever, you know, we call it Twitter here. If you're on the Facebook too, you can just text in. You don't have to call, just like Cam, just like Sherry. And Sherry, she kind of put in there. She goes, sorry, she was teaching late tonight. Sherry, that is perfectly good reason to be late to Busted Pencils when you're teaching. I mean, we'll give her, we will not count her tardy today because of that. She had a legitimate excuse, Teacher Joanna. You're laughing at that one.
I am.
But you two, you've been on, you know, Educators Amplified, Teacher Hallie and Teacher Joanna, you've been on and really talking and helping the listener really understand this emotional regulation. That how that is. And to hear now too, I want to just kind of revisit more, Teacher Joanna, if you can bring us into this, how that, you know, as a teacher, you would have a goal of getting your students out of that fear mindset to move them out of that, because that's not how they function well.
Right. Well, any of us, like I said, like in order to be able to be creative and flexible and to critique and to adapt, yeah, your mind needs to be in a state of calm, because that's where your logic, you know, is operating from. We can't be in what we call, right, Hallie, our reptilian brain. We have to be able to, and because that's our most basic instinct survival brain. And so to really move up those layers for more complex thinking and tasks, yeah, you have to be able to be, regulated, calm, your nervous system in balance. And so when we think about the huge challenges our world faces right now, and, you know, and this has been Hallie and I's perspective with schools, being like, we have huge challenges in schools. And what we were seeing, why we were so disappointed, is even the solutions were dysregulated, because we're like, everybody's, what I'd be like, everybody's tripping. And so that's what I'd always say, right? I'm like, so these solutions don't even make sense, because everything is kind of chaotic and jacked, you know, the stress levels are jacked. And we really need, like, what our world needs, what our schools need is regulated environments and adults, so that, again, we can tackle these complex issues and have solutions that honestly, like, make sense and benefit. So, like, when we came out of COVID and the battle cry was like learning loss, we were like, oh my gosh, this doesn't even make sense right now. But what that is it's an example of almost like the reptilian brain, right? You just go back to what you know. You're not thinking of something new. You're not, you know, creating and being flexible. You'll just instinctively go back to what you know.
Well, that learning loss was that tapping on that fear. Mm-hmm. Fear again. And Teacher Hallie, you had really, the way you said that about coming out of COVID, it's like we have been constantly engaged in fear in some way, some anxiety provoking. And Teacher Joanna, yeah, soon as COVID was over, guess what? Well, we are already in that pain and trauma of COVID. And wow, guess what? Learning loss, fear, anxiety. Maybe that's truly, I don't know if anybody politically saw this as a tactic, but to step up into this moment right now and to show laughter, demonstrate laughter, to then also engage in talking points. And Teacher Joanna, I've heard Tim Walz doing some really incredibly powerful commentary. Mm-hmm. And even when he's hitting very important points, he's not using that fear, anxiety twist. He's empowering that, you know, that other part of the brain. Man, Walz, Harris Walz campaign. I tell you what, Teacher Hallie and Teacher Joanna are ready for duty right now. If you guys want to keep this up, they're out there. You need some educators amplified on your team out there, keeping that regulation going. Hey, it's Busted Pencils. It's fully leaded. The number is 855-752-4842. It's Educators Amplified Night. Teacher Hallie, Teacher Joanna, and Sherry, you are welcome. Hey, Sherry, more when we get back. Seeing that smile, Jess, especially yours. It is awesome. You did that big smile. It's Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Educated educators talking education. 855-752-4842. Thursday, a little bit of Olympics, but then social studies lesson. Second Bill of Rights. Well, actually the economic Bill of Rights. FDR's State of the Union, 1944. And Johnny, you know, when you read through these, and it's interesting to see how there's a debate on this one, because as we teach, this is the other thing that you and I teach, Johnny, we teach new teachers, getting them ready. You know, it's like education 101 teachers. What does a child need to be successful? And we bring up and we show them through Maslow's hierarchy of needs, which lays out saying that you have to have food, you have to have clothing, you have to have shelter, because without those basic needs, those Maslow's hierarchy of needs, everything else above that is impossible. That self-actualization, critical thinking, participation. When I look at the second Bill of Rights, I see Maslow's hierarchy of needs all through this language. And man, that's when I bring it back to my future social studies teachers, that's how I'm always making the connection to them, is saying, remember when you were first starting out learning to be a teacher, and in your Ed Psych class or in your Ed Foundations class, you learned about Maslow's hierarchy of needs. I'm like, hey, dig into these economic Bill of Rights, this second Bill of Rights. What do you see? And all the time, Johnny, they're able to draw that comparison, go, oh my God, Dr. Slicker, you're right.
Yeah, and it also recenters education back on us. Remember, this right. is Busted Pencils, fully led at education talk, right. where educated educators talk in education. You know, it is political and government responsibility to strong education. And that's, let's do some contrast. That's contrast with, you know, at least on this ticket, a Republican Party that wants to do away with that government responsibility. They want that fully privatized and, you know, and to be individual competition based.
Mm-hmm.
That's very different than saying, hey, a strong education system is a bedrock of our democracy. It is one that is how we underwrite and insure and invest in not only the Bill of Rights, the Constitution, but like items like this second Bill of Rights or what FDR proposed in 1944, right, as the economic Bill of Rights. You know, and as we segue that back into why we're so excited about Harris and Walz right now, is we're talking about a fellow social studies teacher L.A. Tom called him Coach Walz, and we've been, you know, emphasizing those aspects of it. But one of my favorite parts of this week, Jess, I think we can wrap up tonight's show sort of ending on this sentiment. We got a lot coming up, and we'll close down. But before we do, I just want to say one of the inspiring moments I had listening to the Tim Walz stuff was how he was inspired to make that move from the classroom and coaching and his community role, you know, and his responsibilities as a father and a participant in the local economy to being a political leader. Jess, you have that clip where he credits his
sure
inspiration?
Do. Let's take
Let's
a listen.
Run that clip.
My students are the ones who encouraged me to run for office. I never thought much about it. But they saw in me what I hope to instill in them, a commitment to the common good, a true belief that one person truly can make a difference in their world.
Mm. Yeah, and I love it because we just talked about it, Tim. We talked about how we prepare teachers, how we are teachers. We know we have listeners out there who are teachers. We have educators amplified every week. They're teachers. We have guests on who are teachers or leaders of teachers in some capacity. I mean, this is education talk.
Absolutely.
So we're on the ground with the teachers. Well, every teacher, just a reminder, right? Our classrooms are microcosms of democracy.
Mm.
And young people experience that. They believe in it. They see that their voice matters, that they're valued, that they have a responsibility to participate, and that everything is towards the common good, you know? And they lifted up, they pushed and lifted up our now candidate for Vice President Tim Walz. So every teacher, just a little reminder, that work you're doing to have a democratic classroom to honor the humans, I emphasize Tim's pronunciation of that, is not only instilling democracy into their futures, but their belief that it's not only possible, but it's probable and it's worthy of taking action on. So great work there. I love that clip.
Hey, I know.
Before we part ways, though, hopefully we have plenty of opportunity to hoist up some brews soon, Tim.
Yes,
and,
sir.
I just want to say a shout out to Minocqua Brewing Company. I mean, Busted Pencils is sponsored by Minocqua Brewing Company. So check them out, minocquabrewingcompany.com, to see where you can maybe grab your own six pack or a couple brews from their progressive beer lineup.
Loving that progressive beer. And Johnny, man, I can't believe another show this quickly, man. We barely got to everything. Just though, you know, again, just another opportunity for a did you know? And in fact, there'll be a big did you know tomorrow, because you know what tomorrow is, Friday, Tim's trivia. Did you know? Okay.
Uh-oh.
But another did you know that you put in here, and it made me think about this, is that within somebody who might say there is no second Bill of Rights. Okay. Well, you're right. But when you say a right to, you know, points out that in education, and people are like, hey, you know what, Joe? Amendment 10 says if it's not here, refer to the state constitution, and all 50 state constitutions absolutely say that an education is the responsibility of that government. And so anyone who tries to talk about these things as these aren't really covered, sorry, education is, and that's what we do here all the time. We're educated educators talking education. And we got to bring this stuff up all the time so that people don't forget. And Johnny, you again reminding people too. I just love that. Those kindergartners that are going into those public schools, you're like, oh, they're learning their phonics. They're learning this. They're learning democracy. That's their first engagement to practice being democratic citizens. First grade, second grade, third grade, all the way up. Yes, it's about the academics, but it's that democracy in action. Man, tomorrow night, TGI, BPF, and Tim's Trivia. And, oh, just so much more. See y'all tomorrow night.